you might as well change the name of the show to That's So Rudy Camacho. It's That's So MLS, a North American soccer podcast with myself, Nick Thornton. With me, as always, is Andrew Bates. Andrew, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. You can set your watch to old Rudy, can you not?
Peter Zimmerman sent me a message that was like, maybe he just really likes the showers at BC Place.
I think this week, as we speak, match day 7 has concluded. And I think that through some of the first opening weeks of the season, it has been disconcertingly quiet in terms of red cards.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, I was like, this is suspiciously just like, there's been a lot of yellows in a few games and a couple of reds here and there. But yeah, this week, good things come in groups.
Lots of things. Lots went on. In the time since we last spoke, it has been a characteristically a roller coaster for the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Yes, it's been a very Whitecap time.
Isn't it great to go absolutely steamroll Montreal and then oneself get totally steamrolled at midweek against Los Angeles?
You love to see it. However, not to jump too far forwards, but given Dennis Bouanga, I mean LAFC's effort in their match day game, I take it a little less personally because I think Bouanga's just having a moment where it doesn't really matter who the competition is. At least that's what I'm going to tell myself. But yeah, it didn't feel great to go stomp Montreal and then immediately get stomped and then immediately have to turn around for another match day game. Out of the Montreal LAFC Portland games, do you feel like you have a sense of the Vancouver Whitecaps this season, and do you like what you see, or what's the verdict?
Things continue to be quite strange. You know, the notion of, you know, the commentators, none of whom do MLS regularly on the Champions League stream. I'm trying to decide if it really is just a matter of, like, they were painting it as, oh, the teams on the bottom simply can't compete with the teams on the top. And, like, of course there is, like, some challenge related to that. But I'm not sure I'm, like, 1,000% there. Yeah. Because Vancouver maybe, you know, I don't look at this team and think, like, this is a team that does not have the pieces in place. The team has the pieces in place. It's just they don't always come together. But depending on who you fault for the fact that LAFC has that, LAFC were just on a different level. Danny Bouanga was on a completely different level. It was outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like right now it's just Bouanga's world, and we're just living in it. And yeah, I mean, there's a part of me that feels like the Portland game, you know, Portland's missing like 7 starters through injury. They've not been doing particularly well. And I felt like we just make it so hard for ourselves sometimes.
That's right.
I mean, all the time. It feels like it's so much more laborious than it really needs to be. However, the result is there. And I think that's, you know, obviously the complaint in the first opening games of the season was that they couldn't get any of the results to go their way, and then they started to turn that around and all of a sudden we're above the playoff line. Maybe not convincingly so, but one of the things that I noticed from this last match day is looking at the goals against and goals for, the Whitecaps have steadily climbed up to 4th place in the league in both. So that feels good. They're scoring goals and they're conceding fewer goals. But
that's what you want.
Ideally, those, I believe that's the point of the game.
And the three goals that, against LA do not count towards that total. Notably,
it's true.
You could all in some of these situations, you can't bang your head too hard about the hypotheticals of like ultimately a team has to produce, and Vancouver have not been consistently producing, but hey, you have a couple of wins in the league. You can ask yourself, as much as it seemed maybe more challenging than it had to be in the, to only be the goal up in the 74th minute after the match that had preceded it. You know, what if one of those two Ranko Veselinovic goals, two Ranko Veselinovic goals that were ruled offside? What a
That's true. And I feel like
what a sentence to say.
Yeah, the goals. There were more goals in this game, and I think the calls against them were the correct ones, much to my chagrin. But yeah, I guess another way of looking at it is this could have been a 3-0 game with better finishing. I think it could have been a 5-0 game.
What happens in the LAFC game? Not to be too you know, conspiratorial, but what happens in the LAFC game if that player who's face on his front, like laying on his front with his leg kicked up, what if that doesn't the ultimate measure of defeat that somehow finds a success? Yeah. What if that goes a different way, you know? And you could also, by the same notion, be, you know, pull some stuff off the board if you say, what if Rudy Camacho in the Montreal game doesn't just decide to haul the last man down for indiscernible reasons?
It's just such a wild red card to take. Yeah. Do we want to talk about Montreal? Probably it'd be a short talk.
Yeah, so I early the coming in off the beginning of the season, I had not been feeling so bad about Montreal, because I also feel like they're a team that has some pieces there, but it has just been bad. It's been bad news from their perspective. They have been blown out. They were blown out by Vancouver. They were blown out again this week. I believe 4-0 by New England.
Yep.
You had the big arcing ball in from outside the box from Barrero on the 21st minute. You had the penalty which Carlos Hill buried. The big mistakes are those last two, which the third goal comes from a header misplay, and the last one comes from a player that is able to basically walk in all the way from a goal kick. This looks bad. This is pretty bad. It's really hard to wave
Lasada
the magic stick
era
and be like,
who
is knows?
Not going particularly well in old fair Montreal. They've only been able to score 3 times this season, and they've conceded a whopping 16 goals. And remember, that does not include the 4-0 drubbing by... Oh, yeah, it does include the 4-0 drubbing by Vancouver. Of course it does.
Five,
right. Sorry, I'm losing track of the goals and also the number of competitions. I guess we should also mention U.S. Open Cup is happening. Champions League is on. Generation Adidas Cup just wrapped up, so there's been... Some other stuff happening around the league.
So this is the interesting. I feel like this is the interesting part of the Vancouver is that this Vancouver set is that it offers this through line to Montreal, who have had an awful time, and really simultaneously, I think that when they lost as many people as they did in the off season, there was a thought process of like, well, there's going to be some negative, but some of the people, you know, they kept Victor Wanyama, and they kept some people.
Yeah.
It's not that they don't have any people. It's just, it has not been going to plan. And I am not plugged in the discussion, in those parts, but you've got to wonder how many of these you can take. You know, they do have a win. That's helpful, but you've got to wonder how many of these you can take. If you're looking at those three goals are in the win against Philadelphia are their only three goals, and they keep losing they keep losing without scoring. How much more can that go? They still have not played at home. It's that Saputo. They had their one win was at home in Montreal. The next two games are in Montreal, are in their home ground. So I suppose if there is some progress, DC and New York.
Okay. All right. Well,
so that's manageable. DC is manageable.
DC is manageable for sure. That'll be interesting. Of course, Losada will be coaching against his former club. Right. Another team that has been struggling that I feel like is just notable for how much they've been struggling is LA Galaxy. They were beaten by Houston 3-0 on the weekend. Two sending offs from Galaxy that were just as blatant cards as they come. Hector Herrera also got himself sent off after scoring a goal.
That whole thing was outrageous. So Casares is sent off for touching the ref at the bar box.
Yeah.
Like, he comes up to the referee and tries to be like, hey, buddy. No. Well, and now's not the time.
And I believe that was a second yellow as well. It wasn't a straight red for that.
Right. Yes.
You can sort of do it, but you can't do it if you're sitting on a yellow.
And that's the situation with Herrera, too, right? That's the second. Sort of like in garbage time, goes in with the something a little
time.
heavier than you need to against Chicharito.
Yeah, exactly. And it epitomizes the game in a sense. I mean, it's good for Houston to get the three goals in. The last Galaxy game before this, the week before, I watched, and I had heard that apparently the supporters groups are protesting and not coming to matches anymore.
I believe that happened from the outside. Like, I think that played there, that was true.
Yeah. I'd missed that news item, which it feels like when your club is being protested just for the results. I'm sure there's more that goes into it, but you're like, yeah, things are bad there. And then Vanny had to sort of capitulate in the press conference after this game and just be like, this won't happen again. This isn't professional. But you kind of wonder, because I look at the squad and I'm like, well, where is that professionalism going to come from? Because you just don't see it. You see the individual flashes of talent for sure, but they do not look like a team that's hungry to win at all.
Here's some context. I come with you with a scoop of context.
I love a scoop
to these protests. So, essentially, the results are a factor with the team president Chris Klein, who himself used to be a MLS player.
Mm.
But I think that one of the big sticking points is that they got hit with that penalty for in addition to everything else, they got hit with a roster rule problem because of the Christian Pavon issue.
Yeah.
They were fined. They were not allowed to sign players, and they didn't fire the president continues to serve in the same role.
Mm-hmm.
So, in addition to, I'm sure the results don't help, but I think the idea is that it's a breaking of trust with the president, where the supporters and the president do not get along and won't.
Yeah, and certainly not the way things are going either for them.
No, and I mean, like, that's true. With the way things are going, and all of that stuff, we know from some of the protests in Vancouver and over the handling of the Whitecaps women's scandal and the way things went with the protests in Portland over. I'm thinking back to to some of the anti-fascist stuff being banned, but there's been other stuff in Portland, of course, as well, and that has a impact.
Yeah.
In just everything in the mood around the team.
Yeah.
That's another situation where it's like, I would not, under any circumstances, suggest that rushing in and making a snap decision on Greg Vanney would be a good idea. But this is, things are clearly not looking up.
No,
the fans fans have the fear.
That's
firing. They want in mind.
Yeah, Vanny's job is to get the on-field results to try to distract from the off-field stuff, but they look a long way from it. And again, it's not for lack of talent on the team, but just as a team, their sequences of play, it looks very, very predictable. And they just can't seem to play out at their own end sometimes.
And they come up next week against LAFC.
Tremendous. Yeah, well, I think my only note for LAFC in terms of trends around the league is they seem to be fine. Any teams that are surprising you right now or anything that kind of stood out to you from this last two game weeks? That
Well, we talked about Bulaga, but we may as well just note, in addition to, obviously, the two goals that he scored against Vancouver, that he had the hat trick against Austin.
Yeah.
The first one was a shot from the top of the box with the channel between the keeper and defenders. He had the volley. He, on the 57th minute, he volleys in a falling ball off of a defensive. The defender is heading it back, and Bulaga just has one. On one hand, okay, so I look at this and I say, Bulaga has so much ground to run into to make this play. I guess I would be forgiven also for being like, well, if there was a corner, I would think that Bulaga would be in the middle, not
right
where the midfielders are. So he must have. It's a push and pull for sure. And then he gets a cross in on the break with his right for the hat trick goal on 67. I don't even think that Austin looked bad in this match, especially not in the first half. But what can you do?
What can you do indeed? And that seems to be the theme against LAFC this season, is they're just so dominant. It's a little bit scary. Interestingly, they're only third in the West, despite the dominant performances. Seattle and St. Louis still sit above them, but
that's right.
Yeah. They've obviously got things under control in their house. And I mean, Bulaga was great the first time around. And it was smart of LAFC to just bring him back and unleash hell. But, yeah, 5 goals in 2 games, not so bad.
Not so bad. You asked me about teams. The last time that we spoke, it was we were living in the glory days of St. Louis having won their first 5 games. Mm. And unfortunately, when you have your first winning streak, that means that you must lose eventually. And St. Louis have now encountered their little bit of adversity. They have they had a tough 1-0 against Minnesota, and then they came up against Seattle and two of the top teams in the Western Conference right now met, and Seattle blew the doors off them.
Yeah, they sure did. There's another team where it feels like there's not a lot of notes for them. It's just a case of how many will they pile on you. Yeah, I mean, watching the game, I felt like St. Louis played pretty well overall, but just they got caught on their mistakes, which is apparently a thing you're not supposed to do in playing Seattle Sounders. unfortunately, I noted it was not a great night out for Nowinski. Kind of culpable on the first goal, maybe the second, and then the third goal is an own goal attributed to him.
So, I do wonder a little bit on that third own goal that if he was fouled in advance of it. Kind of looks like he gets shoved a little leading up to it. Like you said, doesn't mean the first two don't come off of his account to some extent. But
yeah, yeah. But I mean,
maybe I'm just feeling bad for the lad.
I appreciate that. I feel bad for the lad. I feel bad for anybody having to play against Seattle's front three. They just continue to make it look so easy. It's so annoying, but you can't fault them. They just, they know what to do. They seem to have so many different ways of doing it and so many goal scorers, and what can you do?
That Josh Atencio goal was really pretty.
Oh, yeah. The Atencio's goal is a thing to behold. If you have not seen it yet, go find it. A team that's kind of stood out to me, not necessarily like making huge waves, but has been actually putting together some decent performances and playing attractive soccer, is Chicago Fire.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's the guy. It's Kai Kamara.
Hey, the proof is in the pudding. They, of course, beat Minnesota in the most recent game week. Both goals for Chicago come from Kai Kamara, who looked just very, very hungry in those opening 20 minutes, had a number of shots on frame, and then is able to score in quick succession. Arriaga got one back for Minnesota late, but
that one was wild because it's so hard that it hits the goalkeeper, Chris Brady's gloves, and then pops.
Makes
its way into the goal.
Yeah, it's not a great save when it pops over your gloves like that, but I think it's just one of those reaction saves where he's kind of lucky he gets mitts on it at all. I don't think Chicago is going to go on like some deep run here and take the Eastern Conference by storm, but like they're sitting in sixth place. I feel like they're playing pretty attractive soccer. They're not hemorrhaging goals. And yes, there's the expanded playoff format, and there's nine teams now, but I feel like if Chicago keeps doing this, it gives them the room to have some wobble and still be totally fine to stay in the playoffs. Like, it's not been the greatest start for a lot of teams in the East, and Chicago's got something to build on, and it's certainly not a done deal, but again, if they can keep doing what they're doing, why not? The Eastern Conference could get kind of interesting this season.
It's when you look at what they're doing and what Minnesota is doing, it is one where maybe you don't win every game, but as long as you can keep trading and keep getting some points on the board, you'll float.
Yeah, for sure. Win most of your home games and get enough road draws. Like, that'll do, I think, in the end.
Okay, so there's a game that was almost an afterthought in my preparation until I tried to look for it, because there is a play in it that I just can't understand. It is Cincinnati-Philadelphia. Mm. And Andre Blake fouls Luciano Acosta in the lead-up to the play. The play is allowed to continue to run. There's a shot that's blocked. It pops back out to Brenner. Brenner scores, and they take the ball. They take the goal off the board and take the penalty.
Yeah.
Why? What? I understand that like there are some dead ball rules, but what? What advantage could be more important than actually scoring a goal? What if that penalty wasn't scored?
Well, exactly. I mean, I feel like it must. I'm assuming it's in the rules that's what you do. But it feels like, okay, he misses the referee misses the initial penalty shout, and lets the play continue, and then a goal gets scored. Like, I'm just trying to follow the logic of the thinking here. But at the point where Blake fouls Acosta, I'm guessing that essentially the play should have been called dead, because then it's a penalty. So whatever happens after that point doesn't count.
Maybe there was some other reason. Like none of the highlights don't really address the disallowing of the goal, and none of the text based recaps I'm seeing really address the disallowing of the goal. So,
well, I watched this game, and that's the explanation they gave in the broadcast, but yeah, I wasn't able to find anything.
Yeah, that's bizarre to me. That's bizarre to me because
it is bizarre, and gratefully, Acosta does score the penalty, but it is just like, I mean, yeah, if he saves that and Philadelphia ends up somehow winning this game, it just feels like a very unfair use of playing advantage.
I guess the problem...
Although I guess he's not playing advantage because he doesn't see the foul in the first place. So he's missed the call, hence why VAR is saying, hey, you missed this thing. In the same way that I guess if there had been a red card, it also would have been calling the play dead from that moment on.
If you disallow that and then the penalty isn't scored, do you send yourself off for denial of an obvious goal-scoring opportunity?
I think you have. Well, interestingly, when Brenner came off later, he looked pretty frustrated, and I don't know if it was because he didn't get to stay on and get his actual goal, or he was frustrated he didn't get to take the penalty. But yeah, I can imagine for the Brazilian, he's like, he thinks he's won the game for his team. And then, no, it turns out Acosta did that.
Speaking of people who,
that was a weird
speaking
one.
Of people who were determined to get their goal in RSL Charlotte, you have Charlotte going up 1-0 through amazing Carol Swiderski cannon. You had to me, Anderson Julio had so many chances, especially in the second half. And then like, okay, very fun, very good. Pablo Ruiz hits an amazing goal. That's also one you should go look at.
Yeah, that's a great goal.
Off of an intercepted back pass. And that's all well and good. But it's still 1-1, and Anderson Julio doesn't have his goal. So he finally then is able to get in there and get off of a shot away off of a cross forward and get his goal. That was palpable to me, especially after what has not been the easiest start to the season for RSL.
No, it was good to see a positive result for them. I mean, that next 5 minutes after the first goal, RSL just suddenly runs away with it. I mean, I think Charlotte barely got out of their half in that second half of this game. Just looking really out of ideas. It was a great one from RSL. They've looked all right. I forget where they're sitting right now. They're just below the playoff line, sitting in 10th place. 6 points, not great. Not terrible either. Toronto carried on their tradition of never not draw, and had a 0-0 with Nashville. And didn't they draw the week before?
That was actually,
yeah,
I think
they drew with Charlotte.
They drew 2-2. That's true. But they had goals in that one.
Yes, they did score goals in that one,
which including an Olympico goal directly from a free kick by Fernando Bernardeschi.
Yeah, that was another beautiful goal. You know, and a point against Nashville is not terrible either. It's something to build on. Again, it's certainly not convincing yet. And Toronto still looks like they're missing... Well, I mean, they are missing an important piece, but they're missing something to kind of put it all together and make it click.
Yeah, like you say, they are missing an important piece, and it was very funny to me to tune into some of this game and to see them, hear them be like, "We swear to God, at halftime, we're going to be able to come up with some highlights out of this."
And did they?
Yeah.
Another weird thing that happened, I tried to go back and find out more about it, but in the Red Bull San Jose game, which ended 1-1, there was 21 minutes of added
time. I was just thinking, I also had that down in my notes, like, that is, there must have been some reason for it. I remember them sort of addressing it. I think that there was like a big stoppage or something. Well, there must have been, but yeah,
I think there was like, yeah, possible red card check or an injury or something, but I don't know what all added up to take 21 minutes. And I guess we live in the era of you just adding literally every second that is wasted or stopped, but that feels egregious to me.
Yeah, that's rough. That's pretty rough.
I think I wish the cap was 10 minutes. I think after that, it's like, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but, you know.
The goal from Tom Barlow is the latest in league history.
Oh, well, yeah, it would be.
Oh, okay. All right. So we actually do have to talk about this because I knew, well, I was already going to talk about this. I didn't realize this was literally the reason. The league is investigating reports of a offensive racist language used by a New York Red Bulls player against a San Jose player. This was I had heard part of, I didn't realize the two stories were related, but
same, yeah. I had heard about that incident and I think
it was one of those situations. You know, where essentially, like, you know, we're going to put our foot down until we address what is happening here.
Yeah.
Which, of course...
Well, take everything I just said and completely ignore it. I think that is totally acceptable to have 21 minutes of added time, and that's the right call, and I hope they figure out...
That is as per Front Row Soccer, Michael Lewis.
Right.
That is... we have seen it. I was not watching that particular game, but we have seen it, you know, happen where when that sort of thing is alleged, that everything kind of needs to stop for a bit for that situation to sort itself out. So that's something that we absolutely can't, a type of allegation that cannot be tolerated. So I hope that the investigation progresses well and uncovers the truth of what happened there.
Yeah. I don't think there's too many things else that had stood out to me. Any other teams or results that are kind of like in the back of your mind that you want to talk about?
Well, we had, I'm trying to remember if there's anything else from last week that we really need to get to. And we talked about the Bernadeschi Olympico. That's important. We need that. The red card to Ibarra during New York City Atlanta. That was kind of an interesting game, but Almada corner comes back to him and he crosses to a player who is able to head up onto the bottom of the bar to get the tying goal for Atlanta to come away with the point despite the fact that they were down a man the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, that was notable from them. Atlanta feels like they've gotten a little bit tougher. You know, it's maybe not great, but it is sort of never say die, and they're getting a point here and there. Columbus has done really well. I don't think they've faced a lot of really stiff competition in recent weeks, but I'd say the Wilfred Nancy era at Columbus has arrived. They beat RSL 4-0 and then beat DC 2-0, so... roll on the Columbus crew.
That does continue to be pretty good. In Miami-Dallas, I thought that Miami's goalkeeper, Drake Callender, looked very good. Unfortunately, Jesus Ferreira looked better.
Man, yes. Okay, first of all, Callender, just really, really good reflexes on a number of shots that he had to face. Jesus Ferreira, man, every time I watch that kid run... I'm just like, there's some part of it that doesn't make sense in my head. He's so fucking fast. Ball at the feet, ball off the feet, does not matter. Dallas has speed for days up top, and he has been causing problems for everybody. It feels like, you know, this is I would imagine his last season MLS. Has he already been signed by somebody?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's happening. It's funny the way that it is right now, where you, when somebody is doing well, you look at the broadcast and it's like, is this so and so's last time? Or like, is this Brenner's? Brenner almost scores that goal. It's like, oh, is Brenner going to Europe? Who's going to Europe? Is everyone going to Europe?
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like there's got to be something on his horizon soon. He's just, such a talent, and obviously the pace and the athleticism, but obviously the finishing ability as well. He's a very clever player.
That was also one where the
and I hate that he plays for Dallas.
That was also one where the home side expected to get something in the 97th minute on VAR and didn't get it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. The late VAR for a penalty shout, but then I think it actually ends up being the Miami player who went down in the box that got the penalty shout actually fouled the guy and then fell over. So. At least to my eyes.
The other thing, CONCACAF Champions League is coming back, obviously. Vancouver has to do a game, even though the chances of that turning.
Look, we could go down to BMO Stadium and show them what's what. We only need a 4-goal.
Philadelphia goes to play Atlas. I felt that their first half game had some amazing CONCACAF hijinks. You had... Gazdag was held down on the edge of the area on a break. He had the ball at his feet. They didn't score on the free kick, but Atlas got a red card in that. And then he had Gazdag was then cleaned out by the keeper, who hit him shoulder to shoulder and then hit his own defender the same way. And nothing was given. So like Gazdag is up and he gets basically the shoulder to shoulder hit. Then on the 89th minute, the same keeper does the same thing to the same Philadelphia forward, except this time it's given as a penalty, scored it on 89th minute. Philadelphia scores at home. Atlas, no away goal. That seemed punchy to me, and I feel that the second leg of that will probably be well worth watching.
Yeah, I think that could be a pretty spicy match.
We love a little spice in life over here.
We sure do. And what better way to get it than through CONCACAF?
And until we add a little spice to the dish of our football, where can we find you online?
You can find me online on Instagram at That's So MLS. And you can find this podcast at thatsomls.com, on Apple Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Where can
you can
find
me online on Twitter at teambates.com somewhere when I figure it out. Complaining about every MLS jersey except Minnesota's. It actually looks nice. I have to give a compliment or two.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening, and please again drop in those reviews and we'll see you. We'll see you after we have a little more spice in our plates. And please don't get sent off. Get three people sent off in the same game in garbage time.
Do the opposite of Camacho, friends.